Okay. We're in Heavenly Places, page 114. Title is God Cares for You. It's for April 17th, which is today. Isn't it neat how that works? She starts off with Matthew 6:26, and it says, Behold, the fowls of... Okay, boy, this is perfect timing. Just reading this verse of what my wife and I were talking about earlier, and I'm sure some of you are also in the same type of prayer frame of mind, if you will. Go check it out. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Isn't that nice? And many, many, many years ago, I had just become a Christian. I got out of the telemarketing business, if you will, raising money for like FOP and DARP and Vietnam. Yeah, you remember all those black flags that say, you know, the Vietnam thing and all that. Yeah, we were the first ones to get the contract to put it out there. And so there was, we sold thousands of those things. And the guy that I was connected with in regards to doing this, like my general contractor, if you will, I was the subcontractor. He sold tens of thousands. And then, of course, you know, the FOP is the, Federation of Police. And then you also had the firefighters and retired firefighters and all that. I hate to say it, but they're all scams. And that's why I got out of it when I became a Christian. And there's a reason I'm sharing this, because it has to do with this Bible verse. The Lord gave it to me one day. But he gave it to me in pictures, in real life pictures right in front of me. I left the business because I knew that 90% of the money that I was raising over the phones was not going to the police. We had a contract with the police. They only wanted 10%. We raised 10 grand. They only wanted a grand. But this guy had dozens of offices averaging anywhere from $10,000 to $25,000 a week in the door. So, I mean, it's just crazy money coming in there. And but the people on the phone didn't know. Let's say they sent us a $100 donation. They didn't know that only 10 bucks was going to the cops. So after I became a Christian, I knew it was wrong to do that, and so I got out of it, right? So I started contacting some Christian organizations, and we're going to go around raising money for Christian organizations, and I figured that'd be easy. You know, we're Christians, because I got hooked up with a guy who I thought was he was, to the best of his ability. He was a Christian. And we started this one thing. He even tried to get a 501c3 on it, and I praise God he never did. Because we were doing a nonprofit kind of a thing, and boy, you couldn't get, even if you had a crowbar and your foot in the door and a real big smile on your face, you couldn't get anybody to give you a dime for any Christian organization. Half the people you talked to were saying that they weren't Christians, or they just slammed the phone down on you, or they said you're the wrong denomination. So it was just driving me up a wall, and I got a wife and 8 kids to feed, right? Yeah, I think at this time I had 7 kids, yeah, now that I think about it, because it was just right before we ended up in the 1,011-day house. So I went out one day, and we were doing this at this one guy's house out in, I don't even remember the name of I think it was Crestwood, Illinois, or Homewood or something like that, but anyway, we're hitting it hot and heavy on the phone, and I was on that phone 5-6 hours, ain't got a dime. And I usually, when I was raising money for the police, I was off the phone in 2-3 hours. And that ticked everybody off, because they were working 8 hours. And in 2 or 3 hours, I made as much as they did in 8, because the Lord just blessed me. Even though I didn't realize what I was doing was wrong, he was making sure my family was fed, because I was trying to be a Christian. I was trying this, and I was trying to. I did actually become a Christian during that time, but then I eventually found out what was really going on with that organization, so that's why I got out of it. And, well, the Lord forced me out of it, too. He didn't want me in it. And more or less forced me out of it. He forced my hand. Kind of like the Red Sea thing. You got no choice. Go forward or forget it, you know. So I went outside, left those guys in the house, and I went out in the backyard to pray. And I'm praying. I'm saying, you know, what's up with this? You know, I got a pretty big nut to crack here. I can't pull money out of the sky. I mean, and how am I going to take care of my wife and kids? You know, that's more or less what I'm saying to him, because that's kind of like the way I pray. I don't get, you know, vulgar and use four-letter words like some people I know. And I couldn't believe that. I says, man, you got to show some respect. This is the king of the universe. You know, he's not the big guy, as some people call him. He's your God. And I like to talk to him on a, you know, like a friendly basis. Yeah, but I do show extreme respect. And as I'm talking, and I kid you not, and I've shared this before. Some of you are new, so you haven't heard it. As I'm talking to him, a robin just landed 3 feet away from me, right in front of me. And if you stand still for a while, birds will do that. Because I used to do that in the woods. I go for a walk in the woods. I go talk to the Lord. And even when I was a Catholic, going out there to pray the rosary, you know, before I realized that was wrong. But I, you know, I was out there in the woods, and you just sit down, and 15, 20 minutes, you're going to be surrounded. You know, but the minute you see black and white hair, then you get up. And then everybody scurries away. Anyway, I'm standing there, and I'm just talking with my hands in my pockets, just looking up and talking, and just talking to him. And I didn't realize I hadn't moved many muscles in the last, you know, I don't know, 5, 10 minutes. And this robin just landed right in front of me, looked right up at me. And I looked down at him because he saw my head move. And I'm looking down at him. And all of a sudden, he rams his face into the ground and pulls out a juicy nightcrawler and flies off. I just started laughing. I says, okay, I get it. Matthew 6:26. It was that quick. And then later on in the evening, I went out for prayer number two, and he gave me the other toss of the coin. Because I went around the other side of the house. And I don't think I've ever shared this part before. Because if I didn't put my trust in him, I'm going to be like this other robin on the other side of the house. Because I walked around to the back side of the house, and I noticed there's a robin sitting on the, or standing on his, you know, on the ground, like they do. And I walked up to him, and he wasn't moving. He saw me coming. Well, at least I thought he did, but he had some crust around his eye. So I know, okay, he's just about ready to, you know, push up daisies. And so I kind of got up on alongside of him, and I started petting him on the head with my finger. He let me. And I was just talking to him. I says, you know, there's cats in the neighborhood here. You might want to mosey on behind that bush, because they're going to end your life real quick if they see you sitting there, because he couldn't move. He was sick, obviously. I was thinking of picking him up and moving him, but I figured he's probably loaded with mites, because they have a problem with that, and I didn't bother. But that was the other toss of the coin. It's kind of like the Lord telling me, says, look, if you don't put your faith in me, well, then look at this robin. He's going to die. Half an hour later, I went out for another prayer, and sure enough, that robin was laying there dead. He was already gone. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And then she says, as we look upon the lofty trees waving with fresh green foliage, and the earth covered with its green velvet carpet, yep, and the flowers and shrubs springing from the earth, we should remember that all these beauties of nature have been used by Christ in teaching his grand lessons of truth. As we look upon the fields of waving grain and listen to the merry songsters in their leafy homes and view the boats upon the water of the lake, we should remember the words of Christ upon the lakeside, in the groves, and on the mountains. And the lessons were taught by him should be repeated to us by the similar objects of nature around us, which surround us, rather. And I like this part where she talks, you know, where she's, where is it here? The merry songsters. Me and Fran got a little bit of a problem with birds. We like them a lot. And so we have a tendency to buy bird seed. And you can get a pretty good 20-pound, or actually we found a 40-pound bag and get it for like $15. And that'll last a month, you know. And just putting that, we got like an old tree stump. We put it out there. I got a little pole stuck in it with a little bird feeder stuck on the pole to keep the cats away. And I put, you know, the seeds on the stump too. And then we got some little biscuits hanging from the tree, and it's just, you know, getting on the elliptical in the morning, looking out the window and praying and just seeing those birds eating. It's just in the, but what really blesses me is when I go out for the midday prayer, if I wait on it, which I've been preferring to do lately, is wait till about a half an hour before sundown, because that's when the birds are getting ready to hit the hay. Literally, because their little nests are made with hay. Most of their nests are made by the hay we have, because we have these big bales of hay and they have a tendency to borrow from there, which is fine. Take what you need. And the sound. As a matter of fact, I don't know if I could do this. For those of you listening on the phone, this might get a little strange. So let me go here. Okay, let me go there. Wait, nope, go there. Oh, no, that's the... That we had a front move in the other day. I took some pictures of it. It was like, oh, just jaw-dropping. I had to take pictures of that. They actually had a weather report the other day. Explosive wind gusts. First time I ever heard that. Fran told me about it. Okay, listen to this. I don't know if you'll be able to hear this. Here, let me just turn it up. Because I took a video. And this is just cheap phone. But I don't know if it'll work. Come on. Okay, nothing's happening. Okay, what happened there? It's turning off because it thinks my eyes are not looking at it. I don't know if you can hear that. I can't get much closer. Well, you can't go speakerphone on a video, I guess. Awful lot of wind. Can you hear it? So if I get... I'm not even near the woods yet. Give me a minute. Oh, screen went blank again. Hold on. It's a windy day. Screen went blank. Hold on. No, it just keeps going blank. I don't know why it's doing this, but let me... Oh, there's a way to get this volume to go up. Yeah, it was in the back, our backyard. And it was windy, yeah. Wait. Keeps going blank. Oh, it started over. Okay. Okay, it's not doing it. I forget it. All right. I'm just hoping return to call in progress. All right. So, that is, I mean, it sounded pretty amazing when I did it on the phone earlier. For some reason, it wasn't coming up through the microphone too well. But, you know, those songs, there's just so many of them. It's just amazing to go out there and just listen to that while you're praying. Hundreds and hundreds of different types of birds. Well, not hundreds of different types, but there's just hundreds of birds back there. And they're all songbirds. They're all seed eaters. Right? We got robins, and then we've got those purple marlins. But they're meat eaters, and so they don't do a lot of music. But the overwhelming majority of the birds back there are songbirds, and oh man, it's just beautiful. Anyway, she goes on to say here, he made use of the lofty trees, the cultivated soil, the barren rocks, the flowers of beauty struggling through the clefts, the everlasting hills, the glowing flowers of the valley, the birds caroling their songs in the leafy branches, the spotless lily resting in purity upon the bosom of water. All these objects that made up the living scene around them were made the medium by which his lessons were impressed upon the minds of his hearers. They were thus brought home to the hearts of all, leading them gently up from the contemplation of the Creator's works in nature to nature's God. Kind of makes Sabbath that much more special, too, or any day of the week, actually, but when you go out there on Sabbath day and you look at nature and you see what he created, I don't care if you're in a bustling city. Well, I guess if you're in a concrete jungle, you're not going to see an awful lot, maybe a pigeon or two, but they need to get out of there, you know, go for a ride. Because I lived in the suburbs. And yeah, the suburbs, we had a lot of trees and stuff and birds all over the place, but I'm not going to walk up and down the sidewalk talking out loud, you know, to the Lord. I went out and went for a drive, went out into the woods. I mean, ever since I was a kid, that's what I would do. Be alone, go out there and talk to him. And it just makes Sabbath that much better. If you're looking, you know, I mean, really, truly get into it and just be quiet with yourself. You don't even, and, you know, because a lot of times when I, like with prayer, and I know some of you do this as well, you go out there and there's so much stuff happening, you really don't know where to start. So you don't. You just go out there to be with him. And he'll start the prayer. Something will come to mind. You'll start talking to him about it. But she says, in one of his most impressive lessons, Christ says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. The great teacher is here leading out minds to understand the parental care and love which God has for his children. He directs them to observe the birds flitting from tree to tree or skimming upon the bosom of the lake without a flutter of distrust or fear. God's eye is upon these little creatures. He provides them food. He answers all their simple wants. And Jesus inquires, are ye not much better than they? And yeah, I know, we got a bunch of seeds. And we would still have, I mean, because even when we first moved here, we didn't put out a lot of seeds, and we still had all sorts of birds. And that's one of the reasons I let the back part of, and I still do this every now and then, half of it is for a bunny haven, the other half is for the hummingbirds. Because I don't know if you've, you know, when I was growing up, I was a kid, our yard was always the worst looking in the neighborhood because 11 kids, my parents weren't very concerned about how pretty the lawn looked. They were more concerned about what was in the fridge, making sure the kids had food. And so I remember as a kid running around outside in the backyard, maybe one of our cheap little swimming pools that we would buy on occasion, and barefooted stepping on one of them sticker bushes. I never knew until I was a young adult walking in the woods that those sticker bushes can get 9 feet tall. That little dinky thing in your lawn with those little, these little needles that come out of each leaf, they'll get 9 feet tall. But here's a clincher. Oh, and it's very edible on the inside. You get past all those spines. That stuff on the inside is very edible. Very good for you. But on the top, you'll find, and sometimes they get about the size of a tennis ball, beautiful purple flowers. And it's just like a big old neon sign to every hummingbird in the county. Oh, I'm over here, you know, because that's what they go for. And so we get those two. But the hummingbirds ain't here yet. I guess it's still been a little cold at night because I have hummingbird food too. But even if we didn't put the food out, I see how he feeds them. We all see how he feeds them. I mean, come on. Even in a big bustling city. Yeah, some people throw some breadcrumbs and stuff like that to the pigeons. But you think that's their only meal? Think again, even though you see also, like when I was a kid growing up, we used to hang out behind the shopping center. Nobody fed those pigeons. Nobody did. But yet there were hundreds of them. We used to play softball on the roof, and we used to, because it was a big flat roof, or frisbee up there. You just make sure you don't go too close to the edge. And there was these walls that you could walk into that had the signs, the marquees, literally drenched in, you know, pigeon droppings. It was just, they were everywhere, but nobody fed them. So he's been, and that was more or less a concrete jungle then too, because it was a suburb, South Chicago, you know, trees, yes, grass, yes, but it was mostly houses with roofs. That the overwhelming majority of the landscape was stuff that was not edible, but yet he somehow fed those pigeons. I don't even know what a pigeon eats, to be honest with you. So anyway, she finishes by saying here, if God cares for and preserves the little birds, will he not have far greater love and care for the creatures formed in his image? Amen.